and welcome to the STEM Untapped podcast. I'm Izzy, your host, and this week I'm joined by three GCSE students, Felicity, Sophie and Kira. This episode, we're interviewing Gabrielle Gainsborough, a clinical project manager. A little disclaimer, this interview was originally recorded at the end of 2022, so references to COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccination studies are not current. Gabrielle, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
I am a clinical project manager and I work in a contract research organisation. So we're an organisation that provides support to the pharmaceutical industry in order to help the development of new medicines.
Amazing, thank you. And this week we've got Felicity, Sophie and Kira.
I'm Kira and I'm studying in science and I want to go into medicine. I personally chose Gabrielle because I find it really interesting what she does, and I'd like to do something similar.
Hi, I'm Sophie, and I'm studying in history, English, and science because I want to be maybe a teacher. Like, her work in like the COVID situation was really quite impressive.
Hi, I'm Felicity, and I'm studying BTech Sport and Science, and because I want to be a physiotherapist. And I find Gabrielle's work really impressive in what she's done.
It's lovely to meet you girls and thank you for choosing to interview me today.
Nice to meet you too.
So obviously you're interviewing with us this morning, but what are your plans for this afternoon?
So my job title has just changed in the last 2 months. So the company I work for, we're a very small contract research organisation. So we only employ about 30 people. And I'm now helping my boss manage the team. So I work in the project management department, and there are a wide variety of different people that sit in that department. So I'm a clinical project manager, but also I'm a clinical project management team leader, which means I've got some line management responsibilities. But I also work on active trials. So that's what I do as part of my day-to-day job. And so I've actually got a COVID study that I'm working on at the moment. Again, because I work for a very small company and we get approached by all sorts of different companies to help them with their development of their products. We never really know what kind of projects we might be getting from 1 month to the next. And so one day I could be actually going out to a clinical trial site, and that will involve me actually going to the place where either the healthy volunteers or the patients that are enrolled in the study are actually being recruited and seen for the trial. And my day then involves checking the clinical trial data. So I'm actually looking to see that the experimental protocol that is in place for that study is being followed, and that we're collecting all the data we need to allow the company who are developing that drug to actually get the information they need out of those patients and volunteers. And the reason we collect that trial data is obviously to make sure that the drug that we're using is safe, but also works to treat the disease under study. And then tomorrow I have some project meetings for the COVID study I'm working on. So every day is different in my job, and that's what I love about it.
Would you say your industry is male dominated, or is it more equal?
Certainly the world of clinical research feels like there are more women. And I always remember when I first started out in my career, that people said to me, it is a flexible industry for women. So in my company, I would say there are slightly more women than there are men, although that balance is changing.
Girls, is that what you expected to hear? Did you expect to hear that it would be more female or even?
No, we were like really surprised male. If the camera was on, you would have seen our face. But no, we were really, really surprised at that.
And why are you surprised?
This is quite uncommon for especially like science related industry. It's actually really uncommon for it to be more female dominated.
One of my observations, though, I mean, obviously I did a science degree, I did a biology degree, and I would certainly say that biology is the science that more girls choose. I think there are fewer girls that choose physics and chemistry. I think biology is slightly more, I don't know why, it seems to attract more female students.
So did you know about that before you went into your job, or like, was it what drew you to working in that industry rather than other science industries?
Well, so because I did a biological science degree, I mean, I didn't know about clinical research when I was at university, really, and certainly not when I was at school. So probably a little bit like you, when we do our A-levels and we perhaps decide to choose our degree subject, we're probably not thinking what career could I have in an enormous amount of detail. And actually the options that perhaps we're told about are quite limited. So I think quite a lot of people are perhaps encouraged to go into medicine or teaching or to stay in academia. And they certainly were the only options I was aware of when I was studying. And it was only by chance that I discovered that there was this thing called clinical research. And as soon as I discovered there was a job in it that sounded amazing, it was like a door opening for me. But that information wasn't readily there. So I think this is why these kinds of interviews for school children who are looking to their futures are so useful, because it does just give you an insight into the possibilities that you could end up in a career such as mine.
What degree did you do, and is it like necessary for the job you are doing now?
So I did a biological sciences degree, and I studied at a Scottish university, which meant I did a four-year degree. And I did actually choose to do a four-year degree because I took a year out after I completed my A-level studies. And the way the degree was organised was you start off in a very general way, studying all sorts of different areas of biology. And then as the degree moves on, you get to choose more concentrated modules. And I just loved physiology. So that was what my final year was, an honours degree in physiology. So that's the final degree I came out with.
What does physiology mean? Could you define that for us, please?
So physiology is really how the body works. So it's about all the processes that go on within the body, mainly the human body. I mean, obviously animals have physiology as well, but so it's everything. That naturally, therefore, lends itself to the idea of what happens when the body goes wrong. So, of course, medicine is about treating illness in people. But as biologists, we also have an interest in what goes wrong. So when something goes wrong in the body, it's called pathology. So that's the process of something going wrong. That's the term for an illness. And that's why we develop medicines to treat those illnesses. So by understanding human physiology, we as biologists can also help to develop new medicines. And it's that information that I've gained over the years through my studies that helps me to understand the job I do now, because I understand how the body works and I understand a little bit about how drugs work in the body. So the study of how drugs work in the body is called pharmacology, and you can do a degree in pharmacology if you want to at university.
Could you tell us more about your involvement with the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. So over the last few years, through my job with my current company, I've been lucky enough to be involved in a certain type of trial that is used specifically to develop vaccines and treatments for viral infections. And the best way to actually study a virus in a clinical setting is to do what we call a challenge study. So challenge studies are really quite unusual trials to run, because what we do is we know that things like flu and other viruses cause, you know, some quite serious illnesses that obviously can be fatal. How do we actually work out if a drug works to treat that particular virus? So the only way to do that actually is to actually have the virus, you actually manufacture a virus to the standards that you would manufacture a drug. So that's exactly what we had to do. We had to go through that whole process, identifying the virus and then manufacturing the virus and then getting the permissions that we needed to do to actually put it into human volunteers.
Now that COVID is more or less over, do you get to travel around a lot with your work?
Yeah, so because of the kind of jobs that we do in our company, we have to go out to the clinical trial sites where our trials are running. And so there's quite a lot of travel. We tend to do a lot of studies in the UK, and it's very unusual for me to go anywhere really outside of England, though. But in the past, I've worked on trials for other companies where I've had to travel the world. So I've been to America for studies. I've been all over Europe. And it's a great opportunity to see new places and meet very interesting people. Clinical trials are run all over the world. So, you know, depending on the kind of company you work for, the travel opportunities are enormous. I mean, I personally have worked on trials that have run in Australia. I didn't ever go to Australia to work on the trials. You know, we just had teleconferences, video conferences. But potentially, you know, you could end up going anywhere. Go to Africa, you could end up in South America.
I know you might want to answer this, but how much do you get paid by, on average?
So it really varies. It depends what kind of job you're doing. So most entry level people into the industry, they come in as administrators, and they're probably on between £30,000 and £40,000 a year. And then the salaries can go up to above £100,000.
Wow. That's quite. I know that anything really to do with science and medicine, it generally does have quite a high salary. Do you know any reasons for that, or is it just really sought out profession?
Well, I mean, I think it depends what setting you work in, because particularly in clinical research, trials are run in all sorts of different settings. So you have trials that are sponsored by pharmaceutical companies. So we would call those industry-sponsored studies. But then there are also a lot of trials that the NHS run, and there are a lot of other funding sources of revenue out there. Universities, they might have their own research units and they might run their own trials. So it really depends who you're working for in terms of what then the salaries are. So generally academic units are less well paid than pharmaceutical company-led studies. So it really does depend.
You specifically mentioned people, and I know this is quite a sensitive topic, but what are your company's opinion on animal testing? Like, do you test your products on animals, or do you just go straight to humans?
So all new molecules have to go through all the early development phases. So the first phase is sometimes actually theoretical. So it might be there'll be some kind of computer model where they have a look at the molecular structure of the compound and see whether or not it might, you know, have some potential for development to treat whatever the illness is that they're targeting. But eventually you have to go into some kind of living organism. We call that stage preclinical testing. That a lot of that can actually be done in a lab using tissue. So this is not a live organism per se, but it could be a set of cells. But eventually it does have to go into some living organism. So unfortunately, at some point, it does have to go into fairly controlled animal trials. And I think anybody that works in the pharmaceutical industry does have to accept that. So us personally, the company I work for, we have nothing to do with animal testing because it's not part of what we do. Again, as I say, we just provide a service. But there are obviously companies out there that specialise in those trials. Something that's also worth mentioning is if any of you ever do decide to do any kind of scientific and any biological degree, depending on what you study, you know, at university, you have to potentially do tests on animals. And I certainly had to do that when I was doing my degree. I did a neuroscience module when I did my biological sciences degree, and that did involve some animal testing. I did find it quite a hard decision to make, actually. Was I prepared to be involved personally?
Gabrielle, is there any advice that you would give to our students, to Felicity, Sophie and Kira, or to anyone listening, or any advice that you'd give to your teenage self now that you're an experienced woman working in STEM?
Oh, just take all the opportunities that present themselves to you. Ask lots of questions. Read as much as you can. I mean, I remember when I was at school and going to university, I used to love reading The New Scientist and Nature. I used to devour those all the time. And then just, you know, try to talk to as many different people as possible about, you know, where they work and the different opportunities out there. There are a lot more degree subjects now. It's a much more broad area. You've got biomedical sciences degrees, and they didn't exist when I was going to university. And just be courageous. Go out there, and you know, we are fantastic women. We can do everything. We shouldn't be put off by STEM subjects, because we are just as good as the boys. So there's a few interesting books, actually, that I can recommend. So there's a very interesting book called The Concise Guide to Clinical Trials by a man called Alan Hackshaw, which is a good all-round overview of what clinical research is all about. And then there's quite a controversial book as well, which I haven't actually read, but some of my colleagues have found very interesting. It's by a gentleman called Ben Goldacre. It's called Bad Science. And then another suggestion would be a book called Trick or Treatment by Simon Singh. And that looks at complementary medicine, actually, and the controversy around complementary medicine versus what we would call more traditional allopathic medicine, which is the kinds of drugs that we develop through clinical research.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the STEM Untapped podcast. If you liked this episode, you can subscribe for free on your podcast app. You can also find more from us on Instagram at STEM Untapped and our website, untappedinnovation.com/STEM-untapped. See you next time.